here thinking, I just don't feel it, Lord. So I would pray, Lord, that you would open all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our whole being, Lord, to experience you this day. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, and I haven't done anything to earn it. But I would pray, Lord, that through this message, you would use this message to touch us, to change us, to allow us to not to doubt you one bit. And Lord, we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all your people said, amen. Amen. Saying, so boys aren't supposed to cry and girls aren't either. Now, how many of us have heard this statement before in our lives? There are many of us who even teach our children that. We say to our little boys when they start crying, boys aren't supposed to cry. Shut that noise up. Okay, I'm a little mean. And then we tell our girls, you're not supposed to cry either. We are taught from a very young age, saints, that we are not to be overly emotional. That we are not supposed to reveal what's going on the inside of us, what we're really carrying with us on a day-to-day basis. We're not supposed to show our hearts. So, saints, there are many of us who go around on a day-to-day basis, and we're just smiling, cheese, and we're smiling on the outside when really we're broken, sad, depressed, afraid, hurt, and lonely on the inside. How many of us have done that? You've been at work or at school, and you're just cheese, and someone comes up to you and say, well, how do you? Oh, I'm great. I'm having a great day. Well, really, you are so broken up inside, you don't know how you're standing up and talking. Saints, there was this woman I was talking to, and we were having the greatest conversation. Now, we must talk for about an hour. We were just going back and forth and smiling, cheese. Oh, wonderful conversation. Come to find out later, that lady didn't like anything I said one bit. She didn't like one bit of that conversation. But she is like the rest of us. We will carry on whole conversations with folks and never share what we really feel. Never let anyone know what's really going on. Saints, my question to all of us today is, even though we have been taught not to cry, when was the last time you cried? When was the last time that you really, really, really cried? And I'm talking about when you cheese and just tears and snot, you know, all of that. It's just snotting up and tears everywhere. And you really were broken and hurting and experiencing your pain. And not only that, when was the last time you really cried in front of other people, saints? You see, all of us here today, even though we smile on the outside, all of us have some sort of suffering, some sort of hardship, some sort of pain that we're going through right now. Now, we can all look around at each other and we can think, oh, they have it way better than me. Oh, her life is so much more joyous than mine. Oh, his life, oh, you know how much he makes and what a successful person he is. Nothing could possibly be wrong in his life, saints. But every single one of us is going through something right now. So let me ask you, since we know, look to the left and look to the right, since we know all these folks in here are going through something, when was the last time that you cried for someone else's pain and hardship? When was the last time you really, really hurt because you knew they were hurting, or you knew they were sad and lonely and hurting and afraid? Saints, when was the last time you cried for the brokenness of our church, of Glenville? All of us come here all the time. And all of us know that each and every one of us are suffering with something, or something is going on in our lives. But when have you really stopped to feel tears of ache and heartache for what we are going through as a church family? You know, saints, for some of us, we wear our emotions on our sleeves, and We can tell immediately how you feel and what you're thinking about and what's going on with you. But for the majority of us, we walk around stuffing our emotions down, not telling anything about anything that's going on in our lives. We keep it all to ourselves. It's this funny experience that Pastor Toby and Sylvia and I all had, and we were driving in the car with my daughter, Whitney, and we were talking about her life. You know, she had a life then, big life. And she said, roll the windows up. Don't be putting my business out in the street. But Saints, when was the last time that you put your business in the street so somebody can really know what was really going on in your life? Saints, I would think that most of us don't do that. But I stand here today saying to you that it is time that we cry. And I know you're thinking, Pastor Kelly, please don't start crying up there. We don't want this to be one big boo-hoo fest. Saints, and I know you're also thinking, boys and girls are not supposed to cry. But today, saints, we need to cry. And we're not the first ones to cry. There were many in the Bible who cried. And I found it interesting that most of the people crying in the Bible were the boys. Our Bible lesson today, we're looking at Jeremiah. And Jeremiah cried so much that he was called the weeping prophet. Amen. Read that scripture with me from Jeremiah 9 and Jeremiah 13. Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I will weep day for the slain of my people. But if you do not listen, I will weep in secret because of your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly, overflowing with tears. Jeremiah cried. He cried and he cried and he cried some more. He cried so much that, in fact, he wrote the book of Lamentations. And in the Bible study, youth worship, when we're teaching the kids the book of the Bible in order, we teach them Lamentation. We go like this, Lamentation. And we're crying as a reminder that the book of Lamentations is the word of God teaching us that it is okay to cry. Lamentation means to mourn, to cry, to lament, to feel something about the suffering that is happening all around us. Saints, why was Jeremiah crying? Why was he weeping? Well, there were two things that made Jeremiah cry, and the first was his call. Jeremiah received a call on his life from God. And this Christian life is not easy, amen? When Jeremiah received his call from God, he knew that God was requiring of him to do a certain amount of things. You see, Jeremiah was asked by God not to get married and not to have children. Now that's pretty hard, saints. Many of us, we sit around, we're single, and we don't want to be single, and we just want someone that can love us, and we want to love somebody else. We find it hard to be in our rooms at night because we want somebody to hold on to us. We want children that we believe we're going to love, and there's never going to be a problem, and we're going to have a great time until they get there, amen. But saints, sometimes God is calling us to a life where we are single. Saints, none of us will be married from the time we take our first breath on this earth until the day that we die. Most of us will have periods of time when we are single in this world, amen? And we have to ask God, what is it that you would like for me to do right now while I am single? And saints, for us that are married or singles that are looking at the married folks, don't look at us and think, oh, they got it good. Don't look at us and think, oh, they got it good. There are many days when even in the marriage you feel lonely. When you feel discouraged and you feel depressed and you feel down. None of us are exempt from these emotions. Jeremiah even struggled with depression. And we, again, we don't like to talk about depression and sadness, but Jeremiah was so low and so down that he wished that he had never been born. And we've had some of those dark days, amen. Jeremiah even had a tough time at work. Anybody here having tough days at work? Well, you feel like the person sitting right next to you. That's what he said sometimes. When you feel like the person sitting next to you is stabbing you in the back, everybody's bickering and gossiping about everybody else. And this just isn't at work, it's at school too. Jeremiah could not get a break. Saints, read Jeremiah 11 with me. And I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes. Schemes! How can that guy get the promotion when I was doing all the work? You students, you're in school, you're working so hard on those papers, and you studied, you went to the library, you got all that good information, you turned in your paper, and you got a B. And that guy over there who barely did anything got an A. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why does it seem that the people who are doing wrong get the good things of this world? And then we say, well, the people who are doing right always get the bad or the raw deal. Jeremiah asked the same question, saints. Read that with me, Jeremiah 12. Why does the way of the guilty prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? Way back in the day, Jeremiah was saying that. There are times, saints, when it just seems like we cannot get ahead. When we are working and working and working and we're trying so hard to get things right and nothing is happening. Nothing is moving in our lives. Saints, I'm going to tell you, we're not the first ones. Jeremiah spent 40 years in his ministry. 40 years, that's a long time to be at work. Most of us do 20 and we retire. But I can imagine saints that had that been me, I would have got to about the halfway point. I'd be like, okay, I'm good. Because saints, I know it's been 5 years into my ministry and some days I'm like, okay, I'm good. Because saints, a lot of days we go around smiling and smiling and smiling and I'm always smiling. Y'all always tell me. And everything seems okay when really it's not. And so I ask myself sometimes, why are you smiling and being so joyful when you really are crying on the inside? And we all get to this point of wanting to give up and just on that edge where the world seems a whole lot more comfortable outside than what was happening in the church. It's a whole lot easier, saints, to turn on my television and watch that home channel with that, you know, they changing the room around and they're making all those good things. And yeah, the home makeover. It's a whole lot easier. And I love that on cable you can watch the show all day. It's a whole lot more comfortable to sit down and watch that television and eat my good chips or my cookies or whatever I got. And the reward is a lot more immediate than it is to walk the way of the cross. This lifestyle is not easy. And many of us feel so discouraged and so down and so downcast that we just want to sit down and cry. But what does Jeremiah teach us to do? And all of Jeremiah's hurt and suffering and hardship and pain and loneliness, Jeremiah teaches us to boast for Jesus. To boast for Jesus. Now, saints, there are many times when we're taught in the church, don't brag, don't boast because you got a lot of money, don't boast because you got a good education, don't boast because you're strong and all these other things we're not supposed to boast about. But there is one thing that the Bible gives us clear opinion about that we can boast about God, that we can boast about Jesus. You see, saints, when Jeremiah would get down and out and all this sadness would come upon him and the work life was too hard and everything was stressed out and he felt like crying and he was crying and boo-hooing, Jeremiah would lift up his eyes to the hills from where his help comes from. And he would say, I know a living God. Saints, read Jeremiah 9 with me. Do not let the wise boast in their wisdom. Do not let the mighty boast in their might. Do not let the wealthy boast in their wealth. But let those who boast, boast in this, that they understand and know me, and that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He said, I am. When they would ask him, what is your name? He would say, I am. That's all you got to say. I am. That is how sometimes we can be smiling on the outside, but we're feeling bad on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. That is amazing. We serve a good God. So Jeremiah cried because of his call on his life. The second reason Jeremiah cried was because of the people. Jeremiah cried because of the sin, the brokenness, and the refusal of the people to repent. Repent, say that word with me. Repent. Repent. Jeremiah was a pastor who would preach and teach, and he would preach and preach and preach, and he would call for the people of God to repent, to turn away from their sin. But guess what? The people would not listen. They would not listen. Does this sound like anybody that you know? Pastors preaching and preaching and preaching and pleading and pleading and pleading and crying and crying and crying. But are the people listening? Are we listening, saints? You see, we want to put up a good front, good appearance, just like the people of Israel. The people of Israel had a strong, active religious life. Sacrifices were being offered and prayers were being made, and the temple, the church was functioning. It was doing great. And all this good outward religion was being shown. But the whole time, the people were putting on appearances. They were giving a good show, but saints, all of theirs was an outward religion when there was no inside heart religion. No heart religion. The people seemed to believe that some kind of way that their sins were hidden. Nobody can see what I'm doing. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But saints, I think I say this every time I get up here and preach. Sin is more obvious than we could ever think. You can always know when sin is around. You can follow it, just like when you drop breadcrumbs on the ground and the birds just follow the trail of breadcrumbs. You see, saints, when your church won't grow, follow the trail of sin. When you're stuck in a rut and trying to figure out how I'm going to get to the next stage and why am I not moving anywhere, follow the trail of sin. When you're not seeing any changes in your life, follow the trail of sin. But saints, I don't want any of us to get high and mighty and think, oh, I'm not doing any of that. It's not me, Pastor Kelly, that's doing all that sin. It's them over there. It's my husband. It's my wife. It's my kids. It's my coworkers. All of us are capable of the most heinous sins. Every single one of us. That is why we watch on the news and we see a man kill both of his children and his mother-in-law, then stand back and say, well, it's because she divorced me. That is why we see a mother chew her children to death because of sin, saints. That is why we see a 14-year-old little boy walking on his first day of school and get shot in the neck. Sin. Sin. None of us are free of sin. And all of us are capable. The human heart is capable of doing almost anything. Almost anything. I always say to anybody who will listen, that they ask me, okay, let's wait while we turn off the phone. They will say, though, saints, why do you come to church so much? Why are you always doing everything? Why do you go to every little event? Why do you go to every choir, every little thing that we have? And I will tell you very quickly, quickly because I know I am this close to sin. And I have to stay so close to Jesus because one step, I don't even have to put my whole foot out. One toe and I'm gone. I am gone into sin. You see, Saints, I'm at the grocery store. Who would think in the grocery store you got some sin? At the grocery store, big old shelf of white Zinfandel. I'm like, ooh, Kelly, hurry up. You know, my husband is absolutely gorgeous. I think he's the best looking man on earth. But that don't mean I stop seeing men. I was talking to one of our college students in between service. Boy, oh boy, when you go to college, I don't know how it is possible that they get cuter when you... It's a struggle for our college students. It's hard. You know, you got all those parties, all those good-looking guys. You know, they all in shape. Everybody's tight. No bellies, no one-packs. Jessica is going to be all right. But that is why we stay so close to Jesus. Because we know that it's only one little thing and we're gone. We are gone. Saints. That is why I don't mind if I'm missing from church. Somebody gives me a call and say, where you at? What's going on? Call me. That's why you shouldn't mind, because I want the same for you when you haven't been to church. Somebody should call each other, you know. Accountability, that's what we need. You see, saints, sin can hold us all back. But it's not just sin that holds us back. It is fear that holds us back as well. We are so scared that if I tell people about the fact that I kind of think that a whole lot of guys are good looking, that they are going to laugh at me, or they're going to think bad of me, they're going to put me down. And we don't want to be vulnerable about what our temptations are and what's really happening in our lives. We don't want anybody to know. Some things I don't want you guys to know about. So fear holds us back. You know, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, saints, but I also call him the scary prophet. Because if you read the whole book of Jeremiah, the whole book of Jeremiah was dedicated to how God was going to punish us. How God is going to punish us if we fail to repent. You see, that's why Jeremiah didn't get along so good with his co-workers. They would preach peace and happiness. And Jeremiah would be like, no, you're going to die. You're going to hell. You see, Jeremiah was going to speak the truth. God put it in his mouth and he let it come out. Saints, there are many that will tell you over and over again, like I was reading this Buddhist book, and it said in the book, don't believe what you read. Don't believe just because somebody else went through it that is really true. And see, saints, we fall for stuff like that in this world. You know, we don't want to believe because such and such went through it that it really is true. Saints, none of us have time for lies. None of us got up at the crack of dawn and got up early this morning, put our clothes and shoes on, got nice looking to come here and to sit and receive a bunch of lies. And I didn't come here this morning and spend all of my time praying and fasting for this sermon to get up here and tell you a bunch of lies. You know, but the world, Satan, is real, and he does not want us to believe that God is real. You see, saints, I was reading this summer this book called 23 Minutes in Hell. And there's something that happens for a lot of people, more than we realize, when they're close to dying. And it's called visioning or deathbed visions. And what happens is God allows us to see a glimpse onto the other side. And people report that they have seen loved ones. They'll see a husband or a wife or a child. Or they'll see angels. Or some have even said that they have seen Jesus. Amen. What happens is God allows us to see the other side, and no matter what religion you are, what age, what race you are, everybody reports seeing these visions. I'm telling you all, go online, look it up. Not telling you anything false here. So what is happening is God allows us to see what is on the other side. we will all get to the other side. Amen. So when they tell you that we will all get to the other side, they are telling the truth. We will all get to the other side. The issue is, once we get over, Jesus is going to take his time to separate us. He will look at some and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in and look at this mansion I have prepared for you. Then for others, he will say to you, get away from me. I do not know you. You see, this book I read, just like I told you that people have visions of angels and loved ones, they also have visions of demons. And this book, 23 Minutes in Hell, is a story of a man, just a man, just like you and I. Nothing special about him, just a man. And for some reason, he was a Christian, went to church, he just read just a little bit of the Bible, just little portions here and there. You know, he was trying to do that outward appearance religion. So one night while he was in his bed, Jesus snatched him up and took him to hell. Now this man who didn't know very much about hell and what hell was like, after his 23 minutes, he came back, looked at the Bible, and everything about hell from his experience was described in the Bible. It talked about no water and the dry thirstiness of his throat. It talked about all these big demons, these giants that were hurting him and beating him. It talked about all these spiders and creepy crawly things, and all of that is in the Bible. It talked about the loneliness. You see, because when you're in heaven, I always laugh when people say, oh, I want to go to hell. We're going to have a good old party, all of us sinners. Oh, no, you won't have no good old party. You're going to be all by yourself getting tortured by a bunch of demons. And he talked about that. He talked about the bars. And I looked in the Bible and it said these bars, like a prison, that hell, that he was behind bars and he was all by himself. And the loneliness that he felt did not compare to any loneliness that he ever experienced here on earth. You see, saints, we all have to make some decisions because Jesus is coming. He is coming. And it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what all those different other things say. That does not matter because he will come back and he will begin to separate his wheat from his tares. And everything that we do right here, right now, on earth, really does matter. It really does matter when you're sitting there watching TV doing nothing and wasting your time. It really does matter your prayer life. It really does matter if you're studying the Bible and learning. It matters if you are telling other people about Jesus. It doesn't matter if you go up to them and you say, I want to tell you about Jesus, and they say, oh, okay, I don't want to hear that. You still got to open your mouth. You still have got to open your mouth and tell them about Jesus. Everything that we do matters. Read Matthew with me. When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? You did not do it to one of the least of these. You did not do it to me. Go away into everlasting punishment. There will come a time when your life will be looked at. Everything will be looked at about your life. What did you do? Who did you talk to? You know, many of us will get up today and we're going to walk right out of this church and go back to our regular lives. And all of us pastors and lay pastors and elders will be here weeping and weeping. Please, please, please do the right thing. Saints, but it matters what we do when we're walking down the street and we see little kids and we just ignore them and don't take the time to figure out how we can help them. It matters when we say, I'm just too busy to do that. It matters when we don't support Glenville, our own church, our place of worship. It matters. You see, saints, Jesus will one day say to us, you did not do it for the least of these. You did not do it for me. Go away into everlasting punishment. We have to realize, saints, that we are all a bunch of selfish people. That's where this root of sin comes from, because it's really all about us. It's all about me, right? You know, I don't want to be moved out of my comfort zone. I don't want to talk to those people. I don't want to have to give away my money. I don't want to have to be obedient to God. It's too hard. There's no fun in it. Saints, let's not be fooled by the words of the enemy. Today, there's one final question to ask you. What are you going to do when you leave this building today? What are you going to do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? What are you going to do? Are you willing, saints, to put your heart on the line for Jesus? You see, saints, while we're so busy talking about it's uncomfortable, and I really don't want to do that, and you know, why me? Why am I always suffering? We need to think about Jesus and the pounding and the pounding and the pounding in his hand for our sin. You know, Jesus could have said, you know, I don't want to be worried about them folks. He could have been just as selfish as we are. But he took that cross for us. He walked that walk for you. He walked that walk for you. What are you willing to do for Jesus? You see, saints, we are ministering to a dying world out there. Don't be fooled because they got money and success and status and fame. They are dying. They are dying. And the only way to minister to the dying is to be willing to die. To die to self. To be willing to put a real sacrifice for it. Not an outward appearance where you make it look good because you think somebody watching. Are you willing to put out a real sacrifice today, saints? Read this last scripture with me. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Jesus is waiting, saints. He's waiting for you to start storing up your crowns in heaven. He's waiting for you to start being real about ministry, being real about God, being real about your walk, not just on Sunday, the whole week. What are you going to do, saints? What are you going to do for Jesus? Saints, I would pray today that just like that song we sang earlier, I want to pray so God can use me. I want to live so God can use me. I want to work so God can use me. Anywhere, Lord, any time. Not just on our time and our schedule. Anywhere, anytime.